Well, John wrote these letters out of a desire to see growth. He was writing to the church, to those who were Christians, who had started out on the Christian journey. And he wanted to see them confirmed in their faith, built up in their faith. He wanted to see them moving on. If you look closely at his gospel, you'll see that it was intended to bring people to faith. He says that I'm writing so that you will believe. But by the time he's coming to write these letters, he's addressing them to people who already do believe. But there's no standing still in the Christian faith. There's no point at which you can say you've arrived. You always need to be walking and journeying on. And so John is writing to them now to build them up and that they might be moving on in their faith. I remember well when I made my own profession of faith for the very first time. I was 19. I became a member of the church that day. And there was a lady in our church, Rona Lanigan was her name. And she had been one of the ones who had sort of mentored me and brought me through in the faith. And she gave me the gift of a Bible on the day I made a profession of faith. And in that Bible she had written in the first page and highlighted where it appears in the New Testament, these words from Paul. Just as you received Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing in thankfulness. That was her desire for me as I stood up and said yes to being a follower of Jesus. She knew that that was not the end of the journey, it was the beginning. She wanted me to follow on and to build up in faith. It's lovely for me that I'm still in touch with Rona. From time to time we meet up one way or another. I hope that she is glad that she can see evidence of that in my life, that I'm not the person I was when I was 19. I've grown up, and hopefully I'm continuing to move on in faith. That was what she wanted for me. That was what Paul wanted for those who he brought to Christian faith. And that was what John wanted for those who he knew as disciples. He wanted them to grow in faith and to move on. And I can say as your minister, that's my desire for all of you. Coming to faith is only the start. But can you make the whole of your life about growing in faith? You see, some of you have only taken the first couple of footsteps and you've a long way to go. Others of you have been journeying for longer than you care to remember. Even so, can you make the whole of your life about living in Jesus? About growing in faith? Partly that's why we are running, beginning this Wednesday, Discipleship Explored. We all are called to be disciples. The word means followers, learners after Jesus. So we're going to focus on it particularly for these coming 8 weeks. But it's the whole of life. There is no standing still in faith, only moving on. That's what John wanted for those early Christians, and so that's why he was writing to them, to encourage them that they might be built up in faith. So now that we know that's what he was intending, that's what he was wanting, let's see just what he wrote to them. What did they need to know if they were going to be built up? First of all, this truth. Truth. If we are to grow in faith, it demands that we hold firmly to the truth of the gospel. Right from the beginning and in every age, including our own age, there have been those who have wanted to change the gospel. Maybe add some bits on, or take some bits out, or make some alterations here and there. John wrote to those first Christians, you need to hold on to the gospel as you first received it, as it was from the beginning. In other words, the gospel in its original form, not something that's been doctored or changed to suit people here and there. Folks, circumstances always change, the times always change, and therefore the methods that we use for expressing and sharing the gospel will change, depending on where we are and when we are, how we express the gospel. That will come and go. But the gospel itself is absolutely timeless. What God was doing in Jesus is true now as it always has been. That Jesus died for us that we might be forgiven, that we might be one with Almighty God. That is the gospel, and it is unchanging. It is now as it has been from the beginning. And John was saying to those first Christians, hold on to that gospel that you first received. Because there were those in his time who were coming up with an alternative, coming up with something quite different. Even in our own day, and as we survey history, we see the evidence of this time and time again. Those cults that are alive and well in our world today, take the Jehovah's Witnesses, for example, or the Mormons, what you have there are distortions of the gospel. They take the gospel and they add onto it so-called extra revelations that they have come across. Not the gospel as it was in the beginning, in its original form, but a new version. Something else that you need to know. Well, as Christians, we need to reject all of that and say that you get everything you need to know in Jesus. No add-ons required. Well, in the time of John, as I say, there were those who wanted to adapt the gospel, those who wanted to come up with new understandings of it. And John said to those early Christians, turn away. Hold firmly to what you received in the beginning. He wanted to stress to those he was writing to that they could trust him. He was able to write, we were there. We heard for ourselves what Jesus said. We saw with our own eyes. We touched him. We knew him. So you can rely on what we are saying to you concerning the gospel. Now, hold to it firmly. One of the very earliest and most dangerous of heresies was the one that claimed that Jesus was not actually a human being at all. Nowadays, ironically perhaps, it's the very opposite that's more of a danger. Lots of people are willing to say, oh yes, Jesus was a man, human being, but are less keen to accept his divinity. But in those early days when John was writing, many accepted the divinity but rejected that Jesus was alive as a human being, rejected that he lived and breathed and moved among us. So again, this is why John is stressing, wanting to stress, we saw him. We heard him, we saw him, we touched him with our own eyes. Of course he was human. Those others couldn't accept the idea. How could a God be physical? And yet this is the truth of the gospel. That Jesus is the Son of God, that he lived and breathed among us, that he was fully divine and fully human. This was the gospel. And John said to his people, you must hold on to it. Close your ears to those others who are coming in with other things for you to believe. Folks, if that was true in John's time, it really is true also today. That there are those who would chop and change, there are those who would drop bits that don't suit them, perhaps because of a political agenda or something else. There are those who would add other bits in. And we have to say that the whole of the gospel, the whole of it, all we need is in Jesus as contained in the New Testament. Let's stick to the truth of the message, the truth as it has always been. And that was John's first thing, saying to those Christians, if you're going to grow in faith, you must make sure absolutely that you're building on the truth of the gospel. The second thing he said was this, you've got to live it out. No good just having that truth as a sort of intellectual belief. You've got to live out that truth. You've got to walk in the light, which is what we've spoken about earlier today. You've got to live in this faith. In other words, there's got to be evidence in your life of what you believe. That's walking in the light. And of course we needn't. Walking in the darkness is an option open to us. John saying to those early Christians, if you say you believe it, you've got to prove it. I guess the point is this, that if an outsider, someone was to spend long enough in your company and to watch the way you live over a period of time, with you saying nothing at all, sooner or later, that person should be able to come to the conclusion about who you are by seeing how you live. You've got to walk in the light. You've got to take what you believe and action it. And if we don't, then John is saying we're living a lie. We're not in the light at all. So doing the right thing, living out the Christian faith, is absolutely critical, just as much as holding to the truth of the faith. These two are hand in hand. Believe it and live it. Chiefly, as John goes on to stress, this living out of the faith is about love and how we live lives that are marked by love. He puts it so beautifully a little later on in the letter. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. And it is the degree to which we do that, the degree to which we love one another, that proves the truth of our faith. We say we walk in the light, then let it be clear by the fact that you're loving other people. Don't you wish there was an easier way? Don't you wish that, for example, it could be about learning the books of the Bible in order? That would be good, wouldn't it? I mean, most people could handle something like that, given long enough. Don't you wish it was as easy as, let's say, knowing the doctrines of the Christian faith? But it's not. Living in the light is about loving brothers and sisters, and that is tough. But we don't get to choose. This is what we are instructed. You ought to love one another, just as God Himself loves you. People, that is how we grow in faith. And this is what John wanted for his readers, and as I said, what we want for one another. That we would grow on in the faith. And it requires these two things. that we stick firmly to the truth of the gospel, and that we live out the gospel by loving others, walking in the light. As we do those two things, we go on. We progress in faith. Finally, in his letter, in this opening part, John urges this: be honest. Honest regarding who you are and what truthfully you are like. We needn't kid ourselves on, in other words. We needn't try to pretend to ourselves or to other people or to God. We, all of us, fall short. We're called to walk in the light, we know that, but we are humans with fallibilities and we all fall short. I think sometimes we still go on with this sense that some people are sinners, but not me. I would never do that. What a terrible misunderstanding of what sin is. It's a disease that affects us all. And we need to own that and be honest about it. Because when we don't, we deceive ourselves. But when we are honest, then he is able to forgive us. Out of his grace, out of his love for us, he forgives us and allows us to go on to be the people he means us to be. What's it like for you when you look in the mirror? And when you consider that as a Christian you are being asked to walk in the light, when you consider that you are being asked to love one another, what's it like for you when you look in the mirror? When you consider that you've been asked to follow in Jesus' footsteps faithfully every day of your life, what's it like for you when you come face to face with the truth? The truth being that you fell short. You see, you can hide from that truth and disguise it, but you're only fooling yourself. John writes, be honest. Come before an almighty and loving God and admit, acknowledge who you really are, and only you know. Ask him to forgive you. Ask him to set you on a course in the light. So we hold to the truth of the gospel. We live out the gospel in our lives, and throughout all, we are honest to God. Let's bow our heads.